We are about to speak to the coach of Western Province Rugby. Amongst others, of course, questions around when are we going to return to Super Rugby, a question that he will not be able to answer. But taking all the headlines has been Peter Steph du Toit, who has come to some agreement with Western Province. Joining me on the line now is John Dobson. John, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Africa. Good morning to you.
What's the agreement between yourselves and Peter Steph?
He'll stay with us until at least the British and Irish, end of the British and Irish Lions tour, whenever that is next year, probably July or August next year. And then he can go overseas then if he wants to. We have to do a new deal then. So he's with us now for the competition that we hopefully play this year and next year, Super Rugby and the Springboks against the Lions. And then we'll see after that.
And what persuaded him to stay?
I think what he wanted, these guys were really challenged. You know, in his case, if you got a million euro offer from Montpellier a year, and we're going at the same time within his case about a 41% pay reduction, the disparity and obviously the exchange rate became a massive difference. I think what persuaded him to stay was that we let him. Normally, players can't negotiate their next deal to within a window period of 60 or 90 days before their contract expired. And we had to say to him, listen, you can do your European deal for post-Lions, or you can do that now, which gave him sort of some of the longer-term security. And there was an issue around his image rights that he could commercialize them perhaps a bit easier. But he, you know, the industry, I mean, he had to take the same pay cut as other players. Otherwise, you blow up the team environment, it would have been against the collective bargaining agreement. So he has taken a pay reduction, but obviously can sort of secure future earnings now.
He is an essential part of your approach, right? And your strategy towards, success in the tournaments that we are participating in.
There were a couple of issues, you know, one of which was that he is the world player of the year. And that across the, I mean, I know it's not on the same level as soccer, but, you know, it's akin to Barcelona losing Messi, you know, and that I think. But we had to do that in the paradigm of not upset. You know, why should Sia Khaleesi or Stephen Kutsoff or Bongi Mnambi not? Why should Peter get different treatment to them who never try to exercise their exits during the window period? So it was a balancing act, but I think it's important for South Africa because otherwise, if Sia Khaleesi is probably the highest profile, goes overseas, and if Peter Steph goes overseas, and Malcolm Marks already left, we'd be down to about 9 Springboks in the whole country from the World Cup squad. And then we'd start becoming like Fiji, we're a net exporter. And then the rugby market here will become flattened because all our big guys will be overseas. So I think it was really important for South African rugby as well that he stayed. So I'm pleased we got that across the line.
And I suppose that is the unintended consequence of being the rugby world champions, isn't it? Our players become prize gold for any team around the world at the moment.
That is great for them. I mean, Chiz and Colby is probably the biggest player in Europe at the moment, not biggest physically, but, you know, in terms of his profile, and he's probably beginning to remunerate it accordingly. And, of course, the exchange rate changing. And so we are in high demand. I thought we were on record at the province not being happy with the COVID exit clause, which allowed the guys to cancel their contracts and go overseas. We thought, you know, there's a sort of spirit around with this virus that everybody's taking a bit of pain, everybody in society. So we went through to that exit clause and we got through it. And we managed to keep Peter Steph and all our big bucks, so we were relieved.
We do know that Peter Steph was, nursing an injury. How's that going?
Yeah, that was a dramatic injury. He's on good course. He'll play. Yeah, look, if we play and, you know, it's not going to be just for rehab and getting the guys ready, we wouldn't play before August, I don't think. And when we do play, he's back, Bongi's back, Kitsi's back, Sia's back. So if we get on the field, we'll have a really great team. So, no, it's going well. It's going well. All their rehabs are going well.
All right. More broadly then, when are we likely to see rugby at a stadium somewhere in South Africa? New Zealand making the decision to obviously have the 5 franchises in New Zealand playing against each other. I think that's coming up in a week or two, right? Or something like that. Which is great news because at least we'll also be able to enjoy some live rugby as we are enjoying some live soccer in Bundesliga. Obviously it will have to happen behind closed doors. But you need your men on the field playing and getting physically fit, and you seeing how you are progressing with your team.
Yeah, I mean, when the lockdown started, we were sort of drawing plans around May, which, and obviously it's been dramatically changed with everything in society. you know, and also with the guys being off so long, these guys, it's sort of a week off. It probably requires a week's prep before you can play. So now as we hit 7 or 8 weeks, that's probably where we are just physically. Now these guys aren't in lockdown. You cannot simulate contact or direction change at home unless your wife knocks you over or something. So they are probably about 6 to 7 weeks away from, just even if lockdown was lifted tomorrow, from physically being able to play rugby. So, and so probably, you know, we're hoping to play in August. And then how we work at the moment, Africa, is they're doing sort of rehab and prehab now by themselves with physios. Then we'll start going, guys will train individually on the field, but maybe two guys on the field, one on one half, one on the other, with a physio and an S&C guy. That'll probably be a 2 week period. Then they go into small stacks of groups of 7 or 8, and they come in the facility through one entrance, and they go out through another, and they get phoned from their car when they come in and they can't carpool and go out the back. And then we'll get into group training, you know, sort of team training. But, you know, it's quite interesting. We might have to run two squads because, let's say, we play one, there's a positive test in one squad. We can't then have the whole playing group isolated. So we might be running two teams, two separate teams, so that if they one player game, we can honour, and there's a positive test, we can still honour the next week's fixture, because that'll be a disaster then for the Super Sport and the, well, the broadcasters, if suddenly the Stormers couldn't pitch up at a game because they're all in quarantine. It's quite interesting.
And do you have the depth in your squad to actually have two hopefully equally strong teams that could potentially contest whatever contest, I suppose, we'll be able to participate in?
Yeah, we do. I think all those big guys coming back, you know, those boxers were all injured at the back end of Super, when Super Rugby stopped. They'll all be back, so we'll be okay. I mean, I think if you get clear after that game, you could overlap some guys into the next week's squad, you know. So, yeah, we do have enough. We go, and that's the one thing. This has given us a chance to recover from those awful injuries we had.
I'm hoping that Sia is doing what he needs to do as instructed by you and your team, because mopping kitchen floors is just not going to be sufficient training, I'm afraid.
We have our words, you know. I think, you know, he did well in the World Cup and everything, but I think his leadership and example he set over this period has just taken, it's just been absolutely brilliant. But I know personally that he wants to get on the field because he thinks that's his core being. But I don't think how we couldn't have asked any more of him in terms of contributing to society. But he is aware that at some stage somebody's going to run into him, or he's going to have to tackle somebody. So he's pushing that a bit now.
Let me ask this, because the joy of winning a World Cup trophy is that for the next year or two, you show off. You really, really do, right? you've got something emblazoned in your on your jersey, and you go out there facing a New Zealand and Australia and England, British Lions, whatever the case may be, as the World Cup rugby champions. It's devastating that we haven't been able to really show off as much as we should have following our victory in Japan last year.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've had a poor legacy in the past. When we won a World Cup, we sort of tanked the next year in 1996 and 2008. And this year, you did right. We were absolutely primed. You know, Sia was still here, the player, the coaching structure, and Rossi, it tweaked a bit, Rossi. We were ready to kick on, you know, and that was, celebrated, but really kick on as a team. We're number one in the world, you know, and that's not, you know, that's not often that happens. And we've, so I think for those players, it's been pretty, or for all players, devastating. But I think there's a lot of excitement for this British Lions tour next year, because that's outside of the World Cup is the biggest event in rugby. We're lucky that's coming, you know, pretty much in 14 months' time. So hopefully that'll keep things together. Because I'm not sure, look, I might be wrong, but I'm not sure the Springboks are going to play this year the way things are panning out, which would be very sad.
Yeah, to be very sad indeed. John, thank you very much. And I'm glad we've got some good news with Peter Steph. John Dobson, coach of Western Province and Stormers.